What do you think you contributed most to these players? Again, I know your humble approach is you don't take credit for things, but what did you really contribute to these players beyond the basketball field, on a basketball floor, rather?
I would say that I'm most proud of the fact that practically all my players got their degrees, and most all of them have done well in whatever professions they have chosen. I'm asked so much, aren't you proud of all your players that played professional basketball? I said, yes, I'm very proud of them, as well as I am of the 20-some that are attorneys and the four ministers and the number of dentists and the number of doctors and the teachers and most of them, however, in business, because most of my players at UCLA majored in some sort of business. And while my 2 years at Indiana State, practically all my players became teachers and coaches.
Wow.
But not too many. A few at UCLA, but not nearly as many. So I'm very proud of them, and I'm more proud of that than I am, say, of championships. And if you would like a little later, I'd like to play something for you that means more to me than any championship
I ever had. Hear that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the beliefs and values that you consciously really wanted to instill in these players that you thought would make a difference not only on the basketball floor, but again in their life?
Well, I tried to get across my definition of success to them, which I think is far more than just playing basketball. And my definition of success, which I coined in 1934, is peace of mind, which can be attained only through self-satisfaction in knowing that you made the effort to become the best that you're capable of becoming. Now, without peace of mind, I don't think anyone has very much. They're always looking for something else. And they don't see, the other side of the street always looks better.
Yes.
And they're so different. My favorite American is Abraham Lincoln. And he had that wonderful ability to say so much in just a few words. I think his immortal Gettysburg Address of some 268 words really says more than many volumes.
Yes.
But he said, it's better to trust and be disappointed once in a while than it is to distrust and be miserable all the time. And there's so much to that. And little statements like, the worst thing you can do for those you love are the things they could and should do for themselves. Mm. And I can go on and on with many, many statements of just simple statements which have so much depth to them. But I hoped that as far as my players are concerned, that they would think of me afterwards not as much as their basketball coach, but as more or less a friend, a teacher, one was really concerned about them as individuals more than just as basketball players. Not that I wasn't. Of course, they're there in all probability because of their basketball ability. But once they're there, I want them to know that I'm far more concerned in them as individuals than I am as just basketball players.
Well, that's clear to this day in hearing some of the interviews with these people. Tell me about when you first came to UCLA. Back, was it 1948, wasn't it?
That's correct.
If I recall correctly, you had two choices, UCLA and I think Minnesota.
That's correct.
And you'd chosen Minnesota, but an interesting experience of fate caused you to come to UCLA. Maybe you can share that.
Well, it was a snowstorm.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, at that particular time, Purdue was trying to get me to come back there very much, but they wanted me to stay at Indiana State for another year. And then they were going to let the coach go. And I didn't feel that was the right way to treat people. And I just decided I wouldn't be interested in Purdue. And Minnesota was also wanting me, and UCLA. And they had both offered me the positions. But there was a little hitch in Minnesota, in as much as they wanted me to keep as the assistant the coach that I was replacing. Now, they were not firing him. He wanted to be out, wanted to retire, but he still wanted to keep sort of a hand in it. And he was a fine man that I liked and enjoyed. But I just didn't feel that it would be best. I knew our philosophy of the game was different, and I didn't think it would be best. And they didn't have it in their budget for me to bring an assistant with me. So UCLA had offered the job, and they wanted me to let them know by, I think it was 7 o'clock one evening, in April, and Minnesota, they were to let me call at 6 o'clock to let me know whether or not that they had worked out in the budget. There was a Board of Regents meeting with the director of athletics was going to be there with him. And He didn't call me at 6, and UCLA called at 7, and I accepted. And about 8, I got the call from Minnesota saying everything is all fine. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I've committed myself, and I can't back out on it. And the reason they didn't get the phone, there was a what they called an unseasonable late snowstorm. I'm not sure that a snowstorm in April in Minnesota is unseasonable or not.
Yeah,
but anyway,
right.
That was the reason that he couldn't get the phone. The lines were down, and that's I would have gone to Minnesota had they called at 6 o'clock. That is true.
Well, I'd be curious about some of your beliefs about destiny, because I know that there are many experiences in your life like that. I know you were stationed, or scheduled rather, to go off to war in the South Pacific, and you got appendicitis, and as a result you didn't go, and the man who took your place was killed by a kamikaze pilot. I mean, there have been a series of experiences like that. I remember reading about one of your associates, who later became an associate, Eddie Powell, who came to you. Maybe you could share that experience. But I'd be curious to know two things. Maybe you could share the story of Eddie Powell and what happened. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I'd like to know, what are some of your beliefs about destiny? Do you think there's a certain amount of this is predestined for you, or is it a matter of choices? Is it a combination of the two? What are your beliefs in that area?
Well, I'm not particularly a fatalist. But
yes,
I do
good.
Believe,
no, not either.
I do believe that that there are things that... I don't know how to explain it. It's been said, you know, that... we may not know where our paths may lead, but we know they're being directed in some way. Mm-hmm. And I sort of believe that. And things have happened that's been unusual. Now, Eddie Powell, I had Eddie and his wife as English students in high school, and then Eddie played for me on both basketball and baseball teams. He was a terrible basketball player, it seemed to me, practices and everything. And yet, on the other hand, his sophomore year, he was a fine baseball player. And his second baseman, he made the double play well, and he was a good hitter, and was just a fine clutch player. He was on the basketball team, but he didn't get to play. Maybe I kept him on the squad subconsciously because of the fact that I needed him in the spring on the on baseball. But we had one time when he was his junior year, and it was early in the season, but we were rated. Now, there were three teams. They run ratings with the AP and UP and Indiana with the high school teams, just like they do in the colleges. And there were three teams, or the top three, and they were... ourselves and Fort Wayne Central and a team from Gary, Frable of Gary. And it's by a quirk of the schedule somehow, they weren't in our conference, and this was before we'd opened our conference. We played on consecutive nights. We played Frable in Gary.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Then Fort Wayne Central, we played them in South Bend. And we had a tremendous game with Frable of Gary, and I think we ended up by winning at 47-45. And Eddie, of course, didn't get in the game. He was on the bench, and he didn't get in the game because it was a tough game. I'm not going to put him in a game like that. We went to a restaurant to have something to eat before driving back to South Bend. And Eddie sat over by himself. And I went over and said, come on, Eddie. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, I might as well drop basketball. I'm not doing any good and never get to play. And I said, oh, Eddie, you must never give up. You never can tell what can happen. And if you're not enjoying it, that's one thing. But if you feel it's just because of lack of playing, that would be wrong. And he said, Coach, he said, I know if you'd let me play with Eddie and Jimmy and Bobby, and I know that if I could play with them, I could play well. I never get to play with them. And I know I could. And I said, Eddie, have you ever shown in practices or games that you should be in there? No, but I know I could play if you'd put me in there. Well, I said, okay, Eddie, I'll play you tomorrow night against Fort Wayne Central. And boy, he lit up like this. And then on the drive back, I said to my wife, who always went with me, and I said, honey, I pulled another one, another mistake. And she said, what'd you do this time, honey? And I said, well, I told Eddie that I'd start him tomorrow night. And I said, that's not right. He said, he hasn't earned it, and he hasn't deserved it, and I made a mistake, and I must go through with it because I gave my word, and I must live up to it. I said, I didn't tell him how long he'd play, though, so. But
you figured you put him in for a short time. Huh?
So I thought to convince him that Fort Wayne Central had a player who later became an All-American player at Indiana University, and at that time was considered perhaps the best high school player in Indiana by the name of Armstrong. So I thought, he'll convince Eddie in a hurry. And I put Eddie defending him. I used the man-to-man defense, of course, always helping on the weak side. My man-to-man defense is practically zone weak side. It's just man-to-man on strong side. Mm-hmm.